Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In a few minutes, we will ask City Council Progressive Caucus Leader Brad Lander, who will be with us, why not take yes for an answer when Governor Cuomo is offering the city so much new money to do pre-K without a local tax hike. But that's coming up in a little bit. Also coming up on the program this morning, Jersey City Mayor Steve Fulop, who has company in town. Both Super Bowl teams arrived yesterday for a week-long stay in Jersey City's finest hotels. No Airbnb for them. We'll talk to Mayor Fulop about being the Super Bowl's bedroom and his changing tune about Governor Christie since Bridgegate. Also today, weather story versus climate story. It may be polar vortex time here in the East for a few weeks. That's the weather story. But before you start poo-pooing climate change for fun or profit, the bigger story seems actually to be in the West, where a drought is still going on after California's driest year on record. We'll go west, young listeners, and check it out with a KQED reporter. Anna Quinlan today on her new novel about leaving New York City for a life in the country. All self-hating Manhattanites will be welcome to call. And we will flip it around after that with a call in for anyone who has moved to New York in recent years. Who taught you something about how to live in the city, and what was it? So that's all coming up. But first, to start the week, as we usually do, some Monday morning politics. The two things that keep jumping out at me in the State of the Union previews is that the president will make inequality a theme and that he will signal his willingness to take unilateral executive action where the law allows if Congress won't act. Here is White House spokesman Jay Carney on ABC This Week yesterday.
The president sees this as a year of action, to work with Congress where he can and to bypass Congress where necessary to lift folks who want to come up into the middle class.
Jay Carney on ABC. State of the Union last year got 35 million viewers. The Super Bowl last year got 110 million in the United States. With me now to talk about the State of the Union and more is NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Hi, Mara. Welcome back to WNYC. Happy Super Bowl State of the Union week.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
And listeners, we invite you to complete the sentence we know we will hear in the State of the Union address tomorrow night. The state of our union is what? Give us a word or a short phrase. My fellow Americans, the state of our union is what? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And for those of you Obama supporters, you may want to propose some executive actions for him to take. You can do that, too, while you're on the phone. Mara, any clue about what those executive orders might be?
Well, I'm not sure what they'll be, but I'm sure he's going to list a couple in the State of the Union. You know, the big things he wants to get done: increasing the minimum wage, extending unemployment insurance, funding universal pre-K, building infrastructure. All those things take legislative action. He understands that. But he doesn't want to be hamstrung by a Congress that isn't going to pass his initiatives. So he's going to do everything he possibly can. Doesn't basically give him as big a bang for his buck as passing a piece of legislation, but he's going to do a lot. He's also going to do things that don't really involve an official executive order. For instance, he's getting a whole bunch of big companies to sign a pledge that they're not going to discriminate against the long-term unemployed. That's just using the bully pulpit and getting commitments from the private sector.
And that sub and that pledge and a Metro card will get you on the subway, right?
Yeah, but you know, there is a lot of things the president can do. The White House is intent on showing that he can act, can make a difference, even if he can't pass legislation. A couple of weeks ago, we had a lot of college presidents to the White House who talked about things they were going to do to get more low-income students into college and graduated from college. I think these things can make a small difference around the edges.
And on executive orders, it wouldn't be the first time. How much of that has he already been doing? I know there was at least one major thing on climate change, that as he realized Congress is a dead zone for so many of his ideas with Republican control of the House, what has he actually been doing?
Well, there's plenty that he's been doing, not just with executive actions, but also through the whole regulatory authority that he has. I mean, climate change has become an EPA project. He's not going to get a climate bill through Congress. So he's done a lot. The difference is that he's got 2 years left. It's a small window. It's a window that's closing because pretty soon everybody's attention is going to turn to the next presidential election, and he wants to do as much as he can. He also has a new chief advisor, John Podesta, who has been arguing for years that the president should do more with his executive authority, more with his convening power. That's this pen and phone mantra that you hear from the White House. He can sign executive orders with a pen, and he can pick up the phone and call college presidents or big corporate leaders to the White House and cajole them into doing things. John Podesta is a huge proponent of this, saying the president has a tremendous amount of authority that he can exercise. He can make a difference. Now Podesta is inside the White House as opposed to being an outside advisor. And so we expect we're going to see a lot more of that. The other thing the president is trying to do is provide unifying themes like raising the minimum wage, like increasing economic mobility, growth, reducing inequality, themes that Democrats can rally around and unite around in this election year. You know, the president and his party is facing very, very tough midterms, and he needs to provide things that Democratic candidates can run on.
Brent in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. The state of our union is?
Broken. And, I mean, I think that's probably mostly due to the fact that we have a high amount of political and corporate psychopaths infecting the whole system from the top down.
So broken and psychologically unstable, you would actually say. But
yeah.
How would you fix it?
I'm sorry?
How would you fix it if it's broken?
Increasing mass awareness of the symptoms and signs of psychopathy. There's a really good book called Political Tonerology by Andrew Lobachevsky, which I would recommend anybody with two firing neurons picks up as soon as possible and reads.
All right. Thank you very much. 212-433-WNYC. Anybody else? The state of our union is what? 212-433-WNYC. And if you want President Obama to do something with his executive authority, as John Podesta studies what those things might be for him, and we'll probably hear some ideas, some hints, if not explicit statements of what those things will be in the State of the Union address tomorrow night. What do you think he should do without Congress? 212-433-WNYC, or post them to our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Mara Liasson, NPR national political correspondent, with us. Mara, how specific do you think he will get tomorrow on policy proposals to fight inequality? And will we hear that I word highlighted very prominently? Will he, in a way, channel Mayor de Blasio up there?
Okay, here's what I think is going to happen. I think that he is going to talk about inequality, but you're going to hear a lot more about growth and ladders of opportunity than just inequality. It's a matter of tone and nuance here. You've got to grow the pie. You don't want to be in a position of making a shrinking pie more equitably distributed. Then you're just fall into the trap of being a redistributionist Democrat, and that's a no-win proposition for him. You have to grow the economy, and he has ideas that he thinks can grow the economy. You have to also improve what he calls ladders of opportunity. That's the mobility piece. In other words, Americans will tolerate a certain amount of inequality if they feel that everyone has a chance, an equal chance, to move up the ladder. And that's what's been decreasing lately, and it's a problem that is part of the inequality problem. So I think you're going to hear him talk about opportunity, about growth, and he will have proposals. The biggest one is the minimum wage to attack inequality. Universal pre-K. I think economists are almost in complete 100% consensus that early childhood education is a huge antidote to inequality and mobility and lack of mobility. So I think he's going to talk about those things. But I think he's going to try to do it in an optimistic way, in a way that focuses on growth and mobility. He did give a speech recently at CAP, Campaign for American Progress, that people thought was a little downbeat. It was very sober. He laid out the inequality problem, and it is sobering. But I think he wants this State of the Union speech to be optimistic, energetic, and positive.
And some reporting I've seen is that Republicans also want to be seen as taking inequality and the stagnating middle class seriously this year, and may come out with something new of their own. But I feel like I hear that every year, every election cycle, and then it all comes back to tax cuts and austerity. Do you expect anything actually new from the Republicans this year?
I actually do. I think something has changed. And the thing that's changed is that Republicans agree on the problem. In other words, the two sides actually agree on a common set of facts, which is inequality is a problem and lack of mobility is a problem. That's a huge difference. Instead of Republicans arguing everything's fine, they're not anymore. Now, they have a whole bunch of ideas. I don't think they have a plan or an agenda yet, but they have a whole bunch of ideas, and different Republicans are trying out different things. Mike Lee, who's going to give the Tea Party response to the State of the Union tomorrow night, he wants to expand the earned income tax credit. This is something both Democrats and Republicans agree on. Ronald Reagan expanded it.
Yep.
Other people think that school choice, you know, vouchers are a way to address this issue. Some people think tax cuts still, changing the whole safety net, block granting it. That's a Marco Rubio, you know, answer to these income inequality, mobility problems. So I think what's interesting and new is that people agree that there is a problem. They agree that on the problem. They don't agree on the solutions.
Andrew in New Haven, thank you for calling WNYC. The state of our union is?
Filled with both promise and peril. I think that there is great promise that if we continue building outside progressive movements to elect and push people like Mayor de Blasio, there's a chance there could be a citywide and nationwide progressive resurgence to really deal with corporate power inequality, but peril if we leave it all in the hands of the politicians without pressuring them.
Thank you very much. Lewis in Suffolk County, the state of our union is?
Greatly improved, sir, from 5 years ago. And I believe that it is that way because we as Americans don't realize that we are programmed to experiment. And experimentation, and that's where everything gets worked out. 10 years from now, we may be saying that somebody's going to come out and say, wow, there's too much equality. You know, it's just a matter of the way our system works, and it's all based on that one foundation, the Constitution. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think we're a long way away from people saying there's too much equality in the United States. But thank you, Lewis. 212-433-9692. The state of our union is what? Or tweet us at Brian Lehrer or post on Facebook.com/Brian Lehrer WNYC. Mara, one more thing on inequality, kind of off the State of the Union. I see that the president will visit Pope Francis at the Vatican in March. Do you expect that to include any big display of unity over fighting inequality as a global imperative right now, since Pope Francis has elevated that? Is it too early
yes.
to ask that question?
No, it's not too early. I think that's kind of the obvious agenda for them. They do have a common theme. The Pope has really electrified a lot of people by talking about these issues. Yes, and I think the president's going to get a big boost for his agenda when he goes to the Vatican, a global boost, and so will Pope Francis. I mean, I think that you can expect.
All right. Tim in Baldwin, the state of our economy. The state of our union is?
Of course, it's deplorable, and there's only one thing that the president that I want to hear the president say is that he's going to raise the top marginal rate. What that does is it will tax people appropriately for their use of the economy, for the use of the people who are creating the wealth that we all get to share in. It will tax them appropriately. It will put people back to work. It will give people, pre-K is vitally important, but without a strong family unit, single family units are destructive to our society and certainly the children who are involved in them. All of these things come into place when we have a top marginal rate, probably in the 95% top rate. That's for people who are making maybe $500 million that would be paying that much tax on the excess of, let's say, $400 million. But, I mean, it's this top 1% to 2% draw their income from the GDP, the wealth that we all create. It's perfectly legitimate, but they should pay a legitimate tax. They pay half the tax at 15% rate right now.
And, Tim, I'm going to leave it there. Your point is very clear with some details. Do you expect a shot at the 1% from President Obama in the State of the Union, Mar? You know, we have Paul Krugman. I know he's always on this theme, but he's been writing about the undeserving rich. We have that guy from Silicon Valley, venture capitalist, I forget his name, who the Wall Street Journal actually accepted a letter to the editor from, saying he thinks it's going to be like Kristallnacht against the 1%. Oh, my goodness. Is the president going to go there at all?
I wouldn't expect him to have that kind of raw populist message. You know, he did raise taxes on the rich in the big budget deal at the end of last year and – or to, at the end of 2011. Or 2012, I'm sorry. But I think that he's going to focus – I think it's a losing proposition for Democrats if all you're talking about is redistribution and taxing the wealthy. Taxing the wealthy is a piece of a bigger – agenda. You have to get the economy growing faster. That's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to figure. If there was a magic bullet, it would have been used already. You have to figure out how to make the safety net more robust. And then you have to figure out how to create these ladders of mobility, the ways that people can move into the middle class, and also somehow make sure that whatever growth there is more equitably distributed. I mean, they're all parts of the same puzzle. But I think just to focus on taxing the rich, I don't think that's where Obama's going.
Ken, on the Lower East Side, the state of our union is?
Thank you for taking my call. And I think the state of our union is pretty much screwed unless the rich take their money and invest in America. Bring manufacturing, bring jobs back to America, and help the lower class. I have never heard politicians talk about the lower class. They always talk about pumping money into the middle class and stimulus. That's not going to work. You have to start at the base. You got to start at the bottom. Get people employed. Have the rich stop worried about profit margins so much and take that money and reinvest in America. If you start at the bottom, you will build a better economy in this country. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Ken, thank you for your call. And we're going to talk in just a couple of minutes to Brooklyn City Councilman Brad Lander, co-leader of the Progressive Caucus in the council. And that's a lot of what they're trying to do at the city level right now with the paid sick leave bill and with Mayor de Blasio and City Council in sync. We'll see what else for the working poor may be coming down the pike. We'll talk with Brad Lander about that in just about 2 minutes. But Mara, last question. Will the president mention or will he make any real case for the Affordable Care Act?
I think he will. It would be pretty surprising if he spent an entire State of the Union address without talking about Obamacare. Implementing Obamacare, getting all the problems put in the rearview mirror, this is a huge priority for the White House. It's the reason the damage that was done to the president by the rollout of Obamacare is hard to overestimate. And it's why he's in the slump that he's in today. It really called into question his competence, whether he could, you know, manage the government. And it hurt Democrats who were running. So I think that he will talk about it. The website is better. They are signing up people at a more at the kind of rate that they had expected to, even though they're still a little bit behind. So, yes, I would expect him to talk about it.
NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we will have live coverage of the State of the Union address tomorrow night here on WNYC. Coming up next, yes, it is Brad Lander, Brooklyn City Councilman, who, by the way, was the co-founder or a co-founder, if you didn't know, of the Progressive Caucus just 4 years ago. And now his ally, Melissa Mark Viverito, has risen up to Speaker of the Council. So they've got a lot of power in that caucus right now. And we'll talk to Brad Lander about how they intend to use it. Stay with us.